We get to go back in Colossians again today. Colossians chapter 2. Knowing the Christian life and personally and corporately with you, today there's going to be needs that you have, points in your life that you need fresh help and grace to continue growth in Christ, in the truth, in walking, in the way forward. It's just the reality of the Christian life. And the question I would have for you, where are you searching to get help? Or in the language of the Apostle Paul here, what is filling you and enabling you to go on to have victory? To have grace to put off and to put on things that are true and helpful. So you let him minister to you from his word today. Colossians 2, we're going to be in verse 10 today, but I'd like to read verses 8, 9, and 10 so that we see the flow again of Paul's thought. It's been a number of weeks, so hopefully this will be a fresh reminder and help to you. I'm going to read it in the King James, and then I'll come back and read verse 10. In the ESV as well. Paul says, "Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him," that means Christ Jesus, "for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." Stop there. Let me read verse 10 out of ESV, since many of you are using that translation. Paul says, "And you have been filled in him," in Christ Jesus, "who is the head of all rule and authority." Amen. Now, by way of reminder, we're in the portion of Paul's letter here in chapter 2 where he is warning and protecting the Colossian Christians against false teachers. And since the Word of God is active and living, it's through the ages a warning as part of this letter, this epistle. It's a warning to every Christian in every day to beware or be careful about false teachers. True for the Colossians, and it's true for us. The false teachers in the day of the Colossians were trying to draw them away into various things. And here's the essence of what they were saying. We can show you how to find real spiritual fullness to move on from Christ to a deeper spiritual experience. We've got things that you can do that are going to make you more spiritual. They're going to fill the voids in your life. They're going to advance you on. That's what was all around the Colossian Christians. The blatant answer to that is wrong. They don't have anything to offer. Has someone ever tried to convince you of adding something else? "Oh, yeah, you can have Jesus. Okay, whatever." Have you ever had somebody try to convince you, you gotta add these things into your life? You got to find the so-called deeper spiritual experience, or the deeper life movement, or whatever phrase. This has really no connection to the Lord Jesus Christ. They've got ideas, they've got concepts, they've got religious things for you to do. For the Colossians, it was, "Hey, try philosophy. Try philosophy. Or try traditions, traditions of men. Practices, thoughts that they had, conducts, activities." Or, how about this one to the Colossians? "Try worshiping angels." You see what Paul's dealing with? How are you, Colossians, or how are you, those in this room today, going to advance on in Christ Jesus if he's not the main thing? That's the lie. And that lies every day all around the world. And the Colossians were even offered up Judaism in forms of ceremonies and practices and ordinances that they would go back to. Wrong, wrong, wrong. All of it's wrong. I've had men through the years try to persuade me to try all kinds of strange ideas to grow in spiritual whatever, right? You're probably thinking of somebody back in your past. It could even be a college professor that just has some bizarre idea. But these strange ideas that you come across are trying to take you away, as Paul had already said there, not after Christ, and they're trying to take you into other things, and ultimately it's a lie from the enemy. It's demonic. It's non-Christ-centered. So I've faced these at times myself. Men that said, try these ordinances. Try this diet. This diet will make you more healthy. A diet may make you healthier in terms of bodily function, but a diet is never intended to make a man holy. Never. Not in terms of redeeming love holiness that comes through Christ. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. And then I've even had men have all kinds of unbiblical ideas about the Spirit, allegedly the Holy Spirit. Bizarre, twisted, demonic, strange ideas. What's my point? Paul is helping the Colossian Christians. Paul's helping you and I today to know the truth and know where do we get all that's true and right and for us in growth and grace. And verse 10 is where he states it. Christ alone. Paul says, for in him, that's the one, you are made complete, is what the King James reads. Or, in other translations, you are filled, have been, and are filled in him. Christ alone. God has exhaustively revealed himself, poured himself into his Son. Christ is the deity, right? He is deity. He is the Godhead in bodily form. And therefore, in him alone, all that we can experience of God, all that we can know of the living God through the living Savior is through relationship with Jesus Christ. Not traditions, not philosophy, not foods, not ceremonies, not conduct that is religious per se. It's all in him. So that's what verse 10 is about. Think of this. Verse 9, which is just a phenomenal verse in the New Testament, that in Christ Jesus dwells all the fullness of deity in bodily form. All the fullness of the Godhead, as it says in the King James. And then, right after stating that, the fullness of the Godhead is in Christ Jesus, Paul says, and you have been made full, or you've been filled in him. From his fullness to your filling. You see the connection here? Why would we go anywhere else? No wonder Peter said to Jesus, where have we to go? You have the words of life. I'll say this sometimes to people. I don't read Nietzsche and other writers. I don't need more confusion and lies. There's a proper time to read certain things to understand men's position. But I read about Christ. From his fullness, that he, Christ, is the fullness of the deity, right? The Godhead, to our filling. You need him. He's your source of filling. So my hope today is that you will be reminded, this won't be new, but that you will be reminded today that you don't need anything else for spiritual growth. You have Christ. He is your life. He is your growth. He will fill his children. He is filling his children. He feeds them. He brings them along. He is an active Savior. As I come in and hear Lee teaching on the attributes of God, as he was teaching today, that God is a spirit. And when you think about the God-man, Jesus Christ, that God is invested or deposited in Jesus Christ, the fullness of deity of God in bodily form. Think of it. That's the one who fills us. That's the one who fills us. He, the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's take the two statements from verse 10 particularly the first statement. We'll spend way more time on the first part of verse 10. And let it come like a fresh breeze or a fresh fountain to your soul. Paul says, and ye are complete in him. That's the King James. I don't really prefer the word complete. It's not used really in any of the other major translations. The statement in the ESV and even in other translations is using this phrase, filled. The ESV says, you have been filled in him. Even the NIV uses something close to that. So that's the phrase. Paul is saying to the Christians right now, you have Christ. He is your filling, if you will. Paul is making a clear, definitive proclamation about the Christians. You have been filled. It's not questionable. It's not a concept, maybe a few of it. That's the reality of the Christian has gone from death, not having Christ, to life, to having Christ. And therefore, they have been filled in him. And they have something that's not just past. They have something that's present. They have a reality that is active and living, guiding and helping, which carrying them all the way, which is Christ in us, the hope of glory. It is theirs. It is possessed, right? Today, where you're hurting, where you have needs, where you feel like, I've got to break through, I've got to move on in growth and grace, and I'm not getting there. Christ is your hope today. That's the text. That's what he's saying. And you have been filled in him. Why would you need angels or ceremonies or traditions or concepts of men or money or fame or anything? What you need is more of Christ, to be conformed to the image of Christ, to grow up in him. So Paul is saying here, therefore, if you've been filled in him, then it's possessed. It's yours. It is yours, Colossians. Stay with him. They possess it. Now, we don't use this phrase, something that's communicative, right? Stay with me. To communicate something, I'm not saying that properly. To communicate something in a language of the past means that it is, I received it, I experienced it, I have it. So it has been communicated to me. I have shared in it, I have experienced in it. The gospel of Jesus Christ is experienced, it is relational, it is communicated to you and I. We have it. John Daly, years ago, hundreds of years ago, would express it this way. The perfections and the riches of anything, Lee was just talking about a treasure. The perfections and riches of anything are of no advantage to you and I if they're not communicated to us, if we don't share in them, right? The wealth of people across the world are not any advantage to you if you don't have access to it, right? So, in a sense, stay with me. If you have been filled in Jesus Christ, then you are sharing, experiencing something that is yours, possessively. You have this. And therefore, as Daly here is trying to say, you have it. You have it. But if you don't have it, if you don't have it, you have no access to it, it helps you with none at all. I mean, a flowing spring. Let's say you're thirsty. Let's say you're dying of thirst. You have to have fresh water. And there's a flowing, beautiful spring that you're aware of, that you've heard about. And you get to it. And it is sealed up. It's been rocked over, blocked off. It will not quench your thirst. It's not been communicated to you. It's not experiential. How about a lush garden? Vegetables, fruits, whatever. A bounty that would come from a garden. A garden would be of no nourishment, no help to you if it has been closed off, walled off, out of limits for you, off limits for you. You see where he's going? For something to make a difference in your life or be an advantage to you, it has to be communicated or shared experientially. It has to be something you partake in. No wonder men chase all kinds of ideas, ceremonies, and bizarre things, because they don't communicate or they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And a vast treasure in this building, if you don't have access to it, if it's hidden away, it's not going to help you at all. It's a nice concept, and it might excite you to think, I could find it. But if it's hidden away where you'll never get to it, it is no advantage to you. But Paul is saying quite the opposite of this for the Christian. We just live too many times, so much of the time, as though it's all tucked away and hidden away. In Christ Jesus, he says, come to me always, not just in our salvation, which is the ultimate coming and partaking. But he's saying day after day, come to me. Come to me. Paul's statement is an absolute certainty that the fullness of Jesus Christ is available to you. He says to the Colossians, you've been filled in him. He's not sealed up. He's not walled off. He's not hidden away. He's not off limits. He's yours. You don't need anything else. You don't need what false teachers have to offer. You don't need bizarre ideas, strange sacraments. You don't need bizarre diets. You don't need to buffet your body in weird ways. You don't need to go worship anything else. You don't need to go off there and chase this. You don't need to make a journey to the ocean one day and worship the ocean. Right? I mean, the ramifications of this silence or crush every religion that's ever been offered. If you are complete, or if you've been filled in Christ Jesus, it's over. Nobody else has anything to offer. That's what he's saying here. The exclusivity of Jesus Christ is all over this text, just like verse 9 was. For in him, in Christ alone, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead, or deity, in bodily form. And you, because you've been brought into Christ, are filled, or made complete in him. It's an awesome, staggering reality for the Christian. It's not something that we're arrogant about or bossy about. It's a reality that we are now in the treasures of treasures. The metaphors, you just can't come up with enough of them. No wonder Keith Green loved that. I love that line. When I search for love, you're a fountain to my soul. Real love, everlasting love, forgiving love. And countless other statements we could put to that. Read Samuel Rutherford. The majesty, the infinite splendor and glory of Jesus Christ. He is the one filling the Christian. He is not sealed. He's not walled off. He's not hidden away. Yet, the false teachers to the Colossians, as we go on, we're going to see these specifics come out about what they were battling against, what was out and around them that could stumble them, could draw them away. The false teachers in the days of the Colossians denied this very truth. They taught that you had to advance spiritually through other things. Children, Brother Lee gave you the greatest summation of a treasure to look for, to search after, to go after with all that you have, which is Christ. Grown-ups, the greatest treasure to go after is Christ. New presidential administration, the greatest treasure to go after is Jesus Christ. He's the one to have. He's the great treasure, right? He's the one to possess, to have life with. We were leaving our doctor's appointment, Krista and I, in New York, taking the cab, trying to get back to the airport. We went by a billboard. I think it was on the way. I don't know if it was in the morning or the afternoon. We used the same guy. We called him back. We went by the big billboard in New York City that said lotto, whatever their lotto is, 204 or 214 million. I'm not sure what it was. He was a friendly kind of a guy. He was big. He said, wow, I would love to have that or something to that effect. I waited. I just said to him, I didn't try to say it the cruel way. I said, Jesus said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeits his soul? And that truth stands today. Where else are you going to get filled? Where are you going to get life? Children, the world's going to offer you, Lady Gaga and all of them, they'll offer you all kinds of things. They're liars and deceivers because they walk in darkness. They don't know. They can come to him. They can have life. He's the only one that fills. He's the only one that gives salvation. He's the only one that keeps us, builds us, nurtures us, and brings us to glory to be with him forever. This filling, this void in your life, whatever your need is today, beloved, there is one source, and he is infinitely able to take care of you and fill you. That's what Paul is saying. You don't need what the Colossian false teacher people of that day were offering. We don't need what talk show hosts are offering. Now let's consider this phrase. You have been filled in him. That's the ESV, or this the same phrase being completed is the King James. But let's consider for a moment this phrase, you have been filled in him. Obviously, the key word in this whole verse really is filled or filled in him. But the phrase or the word filled, what comes to your mind? Is it a static thing? Only something that occurred in your past for the Christian. Is it a static thing? No, it's not. It's easy to look at the language of this and think, well, is Paul just talking about something that was taken care of? I've been justified by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and so that's taken care of. He's just not talking about positional, not just talking about now I'm a son of God. I'm a son of the Almighty. I've been made an heir. I've been adopted into the family of God. He's not just talking about that. He's talking about a filling that is today. It's active. The Greek verb that Paul uses here, we'll see this several times in the New Testament, but the Greek verb here is perfect tense. It means it's a past action with present reality. This has happened and you're living in it. So it occurred in the new birth, this filling of Christ. In him, you have been filled, right? But it's an ongoing thing. It's present tense. It's happening today. It'll happen tomorrow for the Christian. It means, since it's an active verb, it means that it makes you full. He, Christ, makes you full. He makes you complete. So you may say, I have so many areas in my life that I need help in. I need to grow in. He makes you complete. Look to him. It's not a past tense thing. Like, well, you know, he saved me, but now I got to figure out how to grow in grace. I got to figure out how to live in holiness. Know him. Let him fill you. So this reality of being filled is ongoing. It's ongoing. It's progressive. It's step by step. It's week by week. It's year by year. We're not talking about trying to come to perfect holiness. We're talking about progressing on in the faith, being more conformed to the man, Christ Jesus. Being like him. You are his vessel. You are being crafted after him. You're a person that he made, he formed, and created all. But you are his creation, and he is at work in you, right? For it's God is working and will do of his own good pleasure. You're not your own. You're bought with a price, right? He's going to present you faultless. He's going to work in you. He's acting. Lee talked about this, the activity or the active God is a spirit, but he's active. Christ Jesus is an active Savior. The Holy Spirit is an active, indwelling spirit. He's active. So it is progressive. It's making you complete. It's bringing you on in the faith. He is. It's just so easy for people to think, particularly in a day where such a shallow, cheap gospel has been preached in America for a long time. You see it on tracts. You hear it on little phrases. It's on bumper stickers. They make the gospel as though it's a trivial thing. And so people wonder, well, then how do I keep going? They might not have even truly been born of the Spirit. But then they don't even know what it means to grow in him, to be made complete, or to be built up or filled in Christ Jesus. They have no idea what that means. Well, the Colossians were learning this. You and I will be learning this till the day he takes us home. I said Paul uses this verb, this phrase, in his other letters. Because he has to speak to help all of these different Christians in their new life in Christ to realize he's making you complete. He's building you up. Listen to what Paul said to the Romans. This is in Romans 15. You don't even have to turn there. Just listen to this. Paul said to the Romans, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. You see that? That's progressive. That's growth. Now the God of hope and the Savior, Christ of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing. You lack joy, you lack peace in believing and growing in grace, look to him. That's what Paul says to the Romans. May he do this for you. Sometimes you hit seasons where you think, I just don't have any joy. Let Christ be your renewing joy, the reality of joy in him for the Christian life. It's peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, right? It is. It's real. Paul said that to the Romans. He could say it to us. Then he went on just two verses later. Ye are also full of goodness, filled with all knowledge. It's the same Greek, it's in the same connection of the Greek word, and then it's an active, progressing thing. They were being filled with joy and peace, and in this next verse, or the two verses later, he says they were being filled with all knowledge. You feel like you're growing in knowledge? The grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ? You should be. You will be as a Christian if you stay centered on him. He teaches us. He brings us along. He is active. He is here. He is possessive, right? Possessive in a sense that he is truly your Savior today and forever. To the Ephesians, how did Paul talk about this? This constant, you're being filled up, you're being built up, it's going onward in Christ, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now this one has a beautiful tie into our text, because he just talked about that Christ has all the fullness of deity, and you are complete, or you're made full in him. You are being filled up in the Savior, the God of the universe. The fullness of God. He didn't say you shall be like God, right? You got to be careful here. Men corrupt these things. Mormons have done it for decades. And ye shall be as God. He's talking about the fullness of God, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in you, conforming you, making you more and more of a pure vessel in the fullness of God that he communicates. He doesn't communicate all of his attributes to us. We're not omniscient. Right? He fills us with all goodness, joy, peace, knowledge. Then he says to the Ephesians in chapter 5, remember, don't be drunk with wine, but be what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. But be filled with the Spirit. There it is, the language. Where are we going with this? This is progressive. You have needs. I have needs. You need to grow in grace. You need to stay away from lies. But what you don't need to do is say, this over here will make me go on. It will not. It will not. There's all kinds of bizarre things that can come your way. And you need to dismiss them all because Christ Jesus is your all in all. You stay centered on him. He will fill you. And he says here, you will be filled or be filled, constantly being filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't be intoxicated with men's drink. Be full or be intoxicated, if you will, with the Holy Spirit. Now that's a statement, isn't it? Wow. Are you seeing this like this is obtainable in our lives, saints? This is not just for a few. This is all of us growing in grace, being helped. We can be filled with joy and peace. We can be filled with the knowledge of the things of God in Christ. We can be filled with the fullness of God, and we can be filled or be continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. And then to the Philippians, Paul said, you are being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Christ Jesus. Philippians 1:11. None of these Christians that Paul's writing to are static, right? Their filling was not a past tense thing. The filling is active, and it is today, and it's where your needs are, and it's taking you on. He, Christ, he is filling you with the fruits of righteousness. Not a diet that you try, or a dress code. There's wisdom in certain ways to possess yourself. Nobody can, but they have nothing to do redemptively. They have nothing to do with your salvation or continuing in your salvation. There can be wise things that you implement in your life, but keep them in proper perspective. You don't go around simple things. You don't take on the world's symbol. You've got to be careful. Nobody's denying that. But to be filled with the fruits of righteousness, they're in Christ. Knowing him, Usually the telltale when somebody wants to propagate a new lie to you or a false thought is it has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Nothing connected to the text. Nothing connected with his teaching. They just have an idea. When I asked a young man in the last month or two, how do you know that you're growing? How would you express it? He's commenting about where he's going on and he's advancing and this and that. And he said, I'm learning it through my diet. That's wrong theology. That's anti-biblical. That's not even accurate. If that's the case, why wouldn't Jesus Christ have camped out on dietary things? I'm not here to wear that one out. I'm just to make a point. Touch not. Handle not. Do not do this. We just have to see that being filled with righteousness is being filled with Christ in you. And him conforming you to himself. Making you, molding you like yourself. One last one. You remember back in Colossians 1, Paul, in the beginning of this letter, did talk about how he prayed for the Colossian Christians. And in verse 9, he says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, meaning of your faith, we do not cease to pray for you and desire that you may be or might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. There's the same connection to the verb of being filled. And ye have been filled in him. You're constantly being filled in him, the Son of God, in whom dwells all the deity. All of it in him. So you are growing in grace, in wisdom, in spiritual understanding because of the constant grace of God in filling you. That's why I said at the beginning, what are you lacking? What am I lacking? Who's going to fill it? Where am I going to go? Who am I going to get grace from? Another teacher? Another method? You see, beloved, all of these graces, all of these realities in the Christian life are a result of your union with Jesus Christ. My union with him is how I'm growing in grace. How do I grow in joy? My union with Jesus Christ. You lack joy? No more of Jesus Christ. He'll give you joy. You lack peace? No more of him. He's filling you. He will fill you more and more with the reality of peace, just like Paul had prayed for the Roman Christians. You lack knowledge and wisdom, spiritual understanding, proper view of things. Look to him. He'll fill you. Don't look to yourself. Certainly don't look to the men of the world. All of these are connected to your union with Jesus Christ because they're in him. You're being filled in him. Righteousness, purity, holiness is connected to your union with Jesus Christ. He teaches you what to avoid. He teaches you how to walk. He teaches you how to guard your speech, guard your heart, guard your eyes, guard your steps. Christ teaches you that. That's the reality of the Christian life. In the power of the Holy Spirit, comes with communion with him. It's not something you go after, you go chasing after, as though it's extra biblical or not connected to Jesus Christ. It is fully connected in knowing him, your union with him. You can be and will be filled with the Spirit in the right way. Don't we want more of that? Yes. Any Christian world longs for more of the reality of the Holy Spirit in your life. Because that's communion with Christ in the simplest, purest way to express it. It's reality that I'm in him, meaning he has me. I am my beloved's and he is mine. I have communion with him. I have relationship with him. He shepherds me and he loves me. Beloved, they are never, these virtues, joy, peace, wisdom, righteousness, the reality of the Holy Spirit, these are never experienced through lofty philosophy. Never. They're never experienced through religious traditions. They're never experienced through strict ceremonies where you can only do this. You have to observe certain calendar days and certain events and certain Jewish holidays. No. Paul's saying, no, those are a shadow. Those are a shadow. The reality is Christ. You have him. And they're never experienced through food or touch not, taste not. They're not. Joy, peace, knowledge, wisdom, all these things are experienced in communion with Jesus Christ. Being filled with him, by him. Think of this. The Father has filled Christ with all these precious gifts. The Father with the Son has filled him with deity. And all the precious gifts and graces that are in him are available to you. The precious gifts of grace, the fruits of the Spirit, victory in the Christian life, grace to overcome, grace to endure to the end, grace to see day to day properly. Because you continually can and will be filled in him. That's the theme of the verse. That's the first phrase. That's the main truth of the verse. You, as a Christian, are being filled in him. The second part, and I'll just spend a few moments on this. The second part is a confirmation of, because he's the main one. It says in the King James, he's the head over all principality and power. Right? He's the head. Paul's emphasis is, you're complete in him because he's over everything. Paul destroys another lie that the false teachers were promoting around the Colossians, and that is to worship or serve angels or spiritual beings. Right here, it takes that completely and dismisses it. Because if all the fullness or all this being filled is coming from Christ Jesus, it only goes to figure that it's because he's the ruler of all. You don't need a secondary source. You don't need spiritual beings or angels to teach you more of Christ or more of God. Never, never in the New Testament, when men were angels, do they worship angels and they're allowed to do so. Never. Never. They're messengers. They're not allowed to worship angels. Christ is the one to be worshipped. So Paul here says Christ is head over all principality and power. Rule and authority, I think it's with ESV, isn't that what it says? He's over all of that. He's the preeminent one. Therefore, he's the one that you're under. Don't go and give your allegiance anywhere else. Think of this. False teachers, the one in the Colossians, to think that spiritual fullness, I'll put that in, that spiritual fullness was beyond their grasp unless they sought other spiritual powers. That's heresy. To think that there's other spiritual fullness or spiritual power available somewhere else. That's heresy. That's wrong. Over the centuries, Catholic leaders have taught their people to pray to Mother Mary or even to dead people. That is heresy. Christ is the one we look to. Across the world today, pagan religions teach people to pray to the sun, or to mountains, or to carve images, or go to certain parts of the ocean. That is heresy. Jesus Christ is the head of all principality and power. All angels, all forces, all demonic hosts, if you want to call them that, are subject to him. He rules over them. You're getting to the direct source. You're connected to the preeminent one, the creator of all, the sustainer of all. And therefore, he's the one that's filling you. You don't need angels. You don't need some other power. You certainly don't need to, quote, go after other spiritual sources. It blows my mind at times to read short articles or hear a news clip about what people will go after to worship or get power from. Just amazing the levels of lies and darkness for centuries since the beginning of men that the enemy uses. Jesus Christ is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the preeminent one. He has it all. Everything's subject to him. Why would you go anywhere else? The answer is obvious. You would never, if you're in a kingdom and you needed the king to do something for you, the king of the land, why would you go find a servant and plead with him? Can you give me power? Can you give me victory? Can you give me help? It's foolish. Who needs a servant? He needs a slave. I need the king. I need to get to the king's court. And that's where the Christian is. You've been made full, or you're being filled, right? You're complete in him, who is the head. Christ is the head of all powers and all authorities. You have direct source to he that rules over all. And It's a unique feeling to walk this out day by day in the spiritual life. It's a unique feeling to be walking in this truth, thinking this truth, communing with Him in this truth, and they roll your spouse off to do surgery. He rules the anesthesiologist. He rules the surgeons, all power. He rules over the electricity that keeps this building operating. He rules over the surgeon's hands and his eyes and his thoughts and his technological devices. He rules all. He's the creator of all, the sustainer of all. All power is in His hand. The doctor could have gone in and initially opened up and looked in there, and instantly Christ could have healed her knee. And he could have watched it heal. Just like in the New Testament, He could do all things. All authority is His, all power is His. You are complete in Him. You have all filling. You're full in Him. To walk in it. We're not talking about some bizarre mystical thinking. We're talking about reality that He is the Savior and King of the world and the universe. He's ours. He's possessed. We know Him. We walk with Him. We have Him. Therefore, saints, He is the Supreme One. The fullness you need, the fullness that you'll get, is going to come from Him. So no Christian ever needs to pay their homage to angels, because Lord Jesus Christ is master over all principalities and powers, all angels, all powers that exist. He is ruler over them all. Beloved, let me say some closing thoughts, and then I'm going to read to us something as we finish. In Christ Jesus, the Christian, you today, you have all the fullness available to you, all the filling available to you that you can ever possess or ever need. You have a limitless resource in Christ Jesus. You have a fountain that will never go dry, right? You have a garden that will have bounty abundantly forever. You will have, as Charles Lyder spoke about, the first miracle, the wine. You'll have more wine at your wedding than you'll ever need. Good wine, meaning what comes from Him. Don't leave this building today thinking you have a void that needs to be filled by somebody. Jesus Christ is the filler. He is the source. He is the authority. He is the ruler over all principality. He has it all. Christ and Christ alone is enough. He is all you will ever need. He is your all in all. In Him you will find every resource, every truth, and every grace for every day, for every need, for every situation that comes up. You'll have Him, and He will supply. He will fill you. I'd like to close by sharing briefly from Brother Bunyan's The Hope. I feel at times like what I try to say could be so much better expressed by countless men today or in the past. For those of you who read it, raise your hand. Okay, just a few. There's not a man, hopefully any of the Christians in the room, there's not a man that should live out his days and not read this book. It's an allegory, the Christian life. The Christian being rescued. But I'm going to read a section of this. I want what Paul is saying to let Bunyan put it in his words of what it means to have communion with Christ and Him to fill us or take care of all of your needs. The story is about Mansoul, the city of Mansoul, right? It's a picture. It's a picture of us lost. Diabolos is the evil emperor, the ruler over the city. He represents Satan. Satan has the city of Mansoul. They're ruined. They're hopeless. But Prince Emmanuel comes and He rescues the city. It's the picture of Jesus Christ, the Prince Emmanuel. Once He rescues the city, I want you to listen. He didn't just rescue them and say, "That's it. I'll be back another time." He fills them. It's the same way. He's providing for them. He's caring for them. So here's the scene. I pick it up. Mansoul has been rescued by Prince Emmanuel. Diabolos has been destroyed. Sin has been conquered, and they're His people. Listen to the relationship with Him. How graciously, how lovingly, how courteously, how tenderly this blessed Prince Emmanuel acted toward the town of Mansoul. Whenever He went into the streets and the gardens and the orchards and the other places, He showed His love for His people. He's filling them. He's caring for them. To the poor, he gave his blessing and his benediction. He would kiss them, and if they were ill, he would lay his hands on them, and he would make them well. He's filling his caring. He would daily and sometimes hourly encourage the captives with his presence and his kind words. Listen to this. A smile from him put more vigor, more life, and more strength into them than anything else under heaven. A smile from him. The prince would feast with his people. You hear this? The prince would feast with his people and fellowship with them continually, constantly. Hardly a week passed without a banquet being held at which they communed together. And he never sent them away empty-handed. Could anybody say of Jesus Christ, I went away empty-handed? Never. Never in the history of the world. Nobody could ever say empty-handed. Prince Emmanuel took care of them all. He gave each one either a ring or a golden chain or a bracelet, a white stone, or some other special gift. Man's soul was dear to the prince and lovely in his eyes. This is beautiful language. This is the Christian life. This is how we need to live. We need to be filled constantly with him. If he did not see the townsmen for a while, Emmanuel would send them an abundance of meat and wine and bread from his father's storehouse. All the fullness of deity dwells in him. You see in this, beloved? You think Bunyan got it? You think he understands this? Luscious delicacies would cover man's soul's table. And whoever saw it would say there was nothing like it in any other kingdom. Incredible. When the townsmen did not frequently come to visit him, do we become dull? Do we withdraw in our own way? When the townsmen did not frequently come to him, the prince would go out into the town. He would knock at the doors, and he would ask to come in. If they heard him and opened their doors, he would renew his love for them and confirm it with some new gift or sign of continued favor. It was amazing to see. And now listen to this. It's amazing, he said. It's amazing to see that in the very place where Diabolus, the enemy, had schemed with his Diabolonians, the evil spirits, that in this very place where sin had reigned, listen to this, the prince of princes is now eating and drinking with the people of Mansa. He's come now. He's come in. He's come into his people. During the feast, Emmanuel's mighty captains and men of war and trumpeters and choirs served and entertained the townsmen. Man's soul's cup ran over. Plenty of wine for his people. And her channels flowed with sweet wine. You hearing this, brother? Isn't this incredible? She ate the finest of the wheat and drank milk and honey out of the rock. I can't even count the exclamation marks of Bunyan uses. He says they drank honey out of the rock. He filled them. He took care of them. And listen to what the people said. How great is his goodness. Since we have found favor in his eyes, how honored we have been. That's just a picture, beloved. That's what we need to be walking in. You have been filled in him. You have been filled in him. He will fill you today. He will constantly care for you, nourish you, and fill you. What a great Savior. Let me pray. Oh Lord, no wonder Samuel wrote the things he wrote. The Lamb is all the glory. In Emmanuel's Lamb, the Lamb is all the glory here today in the text. You are the glorious one. You are the preeminent one. You are the one that fills us. Thank you, Lord, that all the fullness of deity, you don't hide away, you don't stay away. You've come and rescued us, and you fill us. You fill us today. There's brothers, there's sisters, there's young people in this room today that need to be filled afresh and need you. Draw their hearts, draw them to you, draw us all. Lord, you have the words of life. You have eternal life for us. You have words of comfort, strength. strength. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You will fill us. Today we can be full of the fullness of God because of Christ Jesus. What a Savior. What a King. Blessed be your name. We worship you. Thank you.